Bibles tonight and turn to 1 John. The Apostle John wrote 1 John as well as the Gospel of John. And we could spend quite a little time this evening just comparing verses from the two that you can see are very similar to what John wrote. 1 John chapter 1, the first four verses, and we're not going to be looking at those tonight, except I want to mention the fact that in these opening letters, opening verses, that John gives us three reasons why he wrote 1 John. The first reason, he said, is that we can have forever life. Now, the Bible uses eternal life, but I use the word forever to go along with the four F's, the three F's. But in verse number two, it says, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and to bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto you." And so he bears witness to the fact that we have and can have forever life. The second reason he wrote is that we might have fellowship. Fellowship first with the Lord and then also with one another. In verse number three, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." We have fellowship. We have that which is common with the Lord. We are partakers of his divine nature, as Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And so he writes that we might have forever life, we might have fellowship with the Lord and with one another. And then thirdly, he writes that we might have fullness of joy in verse number four. "And these things write we unto you, that you, your joy might be full." Jesus shared with his disciples in the upper room so that they might experience fullness of joy. In John 15, verse 11, "And these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And so John wrote this letter, this little epistle, that we might have forever life, we might know fellowship with the Lord, that we might have the fullness of joy. Then beginning with number five, verse number five, and that's what we want to look at tonight, verses five down through verse number seven. John here helps us to know how we can see these purposes fulfilled in our life, how we can experience in our life the fullness of joy, that we can experience a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from that forever life. It comes from the assurance of having forever life, or the eternal life, to have salvation through Christ. But beyond that, there are basic fundamental principles in our daily life. And one of those, claiming to be walking in fellowship with the Lord as is needed. And so tonight, we want to look at one of those principles, the principle of light. The principle of light. See some truths concerning light and our fellowship with Christ and the fullness of joy. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the privilege of being able to open your word tonight. We pray, dear Father, that you would enable us to share tonight that which is important, that we might be able to know the fullness of joy, that we might enjoy that fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, if there's one here in this service that has not the forever life, the eternal life in Christ, that tonight it might be the night of salvation for them. So guide us and direct us. I pray you protect my lips and not speak anything amiss. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So first of all, he speaks about the God of light in verse number five. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The Christian life is a life of following after and being walking with the Lord. There's a quote that I have from Donald Burrick. It's not my own, but it's probably. But what John is going to say here did not originate with him, but it originated with the Lord himself. You know, throughout the Bible, we have a number of definitions of who God is, or what God is, and here John says that God is light. That is a definition that he gives concerning who God is, what God is. He is light. Light in the Bible speaks of that which is radiant, whether it be in our mental, our moral, or our spiritual life. In God, it is that of the total holiness and perfect perfection. John makes a contrast here between the light and the darkness. And, of course, all of you are familiar with the difference between light and dark. If we shut off all the lights, of course, it's still kind of light outside. It'll still be light in here, but you wouldn't see as well as you see now. And so there is it. Darkness in the Bible is the symbolic of evil and of sin. And in God, there is a total absence from any moral imperfection, whether you are speaking of his person, speaking of his attitudes, speaking of his actions, there is perfect, there is no imperfections whatsoever. This statement concerning God is the standard for the believer to have fellowship with Christ, to know the fullness of joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. What are some of the properties of light that will help us to understand this definition that John gives? First of all, light manifests a brilliance, a wonder in our life. We find here he speaks of the purity, the truth. God is the supreme purity. He is supreme truth. And most of you know I spent a little time in the Army. I went over to Germany by ship. Came home by Germany by ship, and it's interesting, it's the very same ship. I don't know if it was in the dock over there in Germany the whole time I was there, but I doubt it. But I'm one who, I used to enjoy getting up early in the morning. I don't quite enjoy it as much as I used to, but I was up early one morning up on the deck of the ship when the sun came up out of the ocean. Got a slide at home of that, of the sun coming out, but the brilliance of the sun coming up out of the ocean, and what it was like to see the brilliance and the wonder of it all. And you know, it reminded me of the brilliance, the wonder of Christ himself. And light is that brilliance, it manifests that brilliance. Light helps us understand the magnificence of God. See the wonders of God. You know, when I went over my ship, it was calm, and we enjoyed ourselves. Coming back was just the opposite. We had a terrible storm, but up there on the deck that morning, just to see the brilliance of that sun, remind me of the brilliance of God. As Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness and shine in our hearts to give us a light of the knowledge of the glory of God, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But the glory of God, it helps us understand the magnificence of God, to see his wonder. And so light is profitable for that. Light is also revealing. It's revealing of the light that I can see you tonight. You know, if it was dark outside and it's cloudy, it would be very dark, and all the lights would shut off. I wouldn't be able to see you. But because of light, the light reveals. I can see you tonight. You know, light reveals the cobwebs in the corner. Now, thankfully, we have such good janitors here that we have no cobwebs. But if we did, light would reveal those. Light would reveal the dust bunnies under the pews. But because of the good janitors we have, we don't have any dust bunnies under the pews. At least I don't see any. And light is revealing. It's because of light that I can see things spiritually in my life. Light reveals the that which is wrong. God is light, and his word is a light that reveals the hidden shortcomings of my life. It reveals that which is difficult for mankind to see. In Psalms 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And so God, as light, reveals to me those hidden shortcomings in my life, the sins in my life. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and the discerner of the joints and marrow of the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And God is light. He reveals to us. God, through Nathan, revealed to David his shortcoming. If you remember the story of how David fell, and Nathan came to David with a story of two men and one little lamb. And of course, David was quick. He was going to accuse and deal with the one who had taken the little lamb. And God in 2 Samuel in chapter 12 and verse 7, he said, thou art a man. He revealed, God used Nathan to reveal to David his shortcoming, his sin. Light also, not only does light give us, reveal things to us, not only does light manifest the brilliance and wonders of God, but light also gives guidance. It points out the path ahead of us, the path that he would want us to travel. When I was a senior in high school, I was chosen as a delegate. We lived in Colorado at that time, Weld County, Colorado, and lived in Gill. And now if you blinked your eyes, you'd never see Gill. But yeah, you would, because you had one turn. So I was chosen as a delegate from Weld County, Colorado, to go down to North Carolina to spend a week on a farm down in North Carolina as an exchange student, I guess you'd call it. We would travel. We traveled by chartered bus, and often we would travel at night. And the bus driver had this big old spotlight on his bus, and he would shine it on the electric lines ahead of time. Maybe a quarter mile down, and you could see curves coming up. That light would reveal the direction that the road was taking, that he would be able to slow down, because he didn't travel too slow. That light would reveal the path that was ahead of him. And God, through his word, reveals to us, and he at times would use his word to give, he gives us guidance for our life. When we need to know what path we ought to take, we can look into the word of God, and God reveals, and he gives us guidance through his word. In Psalms 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so we know that God reveals, and he shows us, he gives us guidance. So light, God's holiness, is magnificence, and he is the one who gives us guidance in our life, and he is a standard that has been set for us to enjoy the fullness of fellowship, fullness of joy with God. And then he goes on in verse number 7, and in verse 5 he says that God is light. In verse number 6 and first part of verse number 7, we see the walk, the conduct of our life of light. In verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleansed us from all sin. You know, where we walk is important. Where we walk and determine whether we remain nice and dry and clean, or it can determine we become muddy. You know, when you open up the door after rain, and let a youngster out, where do they head? The nearest mud puddle. And years ago, Andy Griffith had a little thing that he did about what it is football. How many of you ever heard of that? Well, there's a few of you heard about that. But he comes to the end of that, and he says the object of this game, the best he can figure out, is to get that pumpkin from one end of the pasture to the other without stepping anything. And where we walk, it does make a difference. And where you walk will determine whether you'll be nice and dry or you'll be muddy and clean. You let a child out, and they'll head for the nearest mud puddle. And, John speaks very bluntly here in verse number 6. I'm not sure I speak as bluntly as he did, but he speaks very bluntly, and he speaks very boldly to us as individuals. 10 times in the Gospel and 1 John, John used darkness to speak of sin. In John chapter 3, verse 19, for example, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. John clearly points out that one might claim to be in fellowship, yet if they are living in continuous, in an open lifestyle of sin, that is contrary to God's word, they are not having fellowship. They're not enjoying the fullness of life. But let's read that verse 6 again. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We can claim that we're walking in darkness, but if we're not, we're walking in light. But if we're not truly walking in light, we cannot have fellowship. We cannot have fullness of joy. And that word walk there is in the present tense. It shows a continual action, a continual relationship that is contrary to what the Lord reveals in his word. John manifests a second contrast here between that saying that and doing. The Christian life is not a life of saying, but it's a life of doing. And here he says, if we say that we have fellowship, that's the saying. But then he says, and walk in darkness. That's the doing. And we need to be careful that we have the saying and not just have the doing, not just the saying. And when one is saved and one has that forever life, that eternal life, he has given a light and a life that is different than he had before. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 5, ye are the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. No, when we have forever life, we have new life. We have a new walk. And it ought to be a walk that is a walk in the light and not in the darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, for we are sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. We cannot walk in fellowship with the Lord while walking a path of sin, walking a path that is contrary to the Lord. The two are two different paths. They're two different directions that we can walk in our life. And if we say we are walking with Christ, but we're doing just the opposite, we cannot have fellowship. And in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them and shall have mercy. On the other hand, in verse number 7, it says, if we walk as Christ walks, when, as Paul said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. When we walk in fellowship with him, when we walk according to his direction in our life, we then can have that fellowship. We allow the light to reveal our wrong actions, our wrong motives, our wrong attitudes, and we deal with them. Again, I mentioned David before, and in Psalms chapter 32, David speaks. And in fact, you can go with me back to Psalms chapter 32, and looking at verses 3 through verse number 5. It says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through the roaring all the day long. When David was hiding his sin, when he was not walking with the Lord, he was in miserable. For verse 4, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. And again, pointing out the fact that he was miserable. But notice verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And so it made a lot of difference in David's life when he recognized that he was not walking according to God's word, according to guidance that God was giving him in his life. And it is a walk not according to the light, but in the light, in the presence of the Lord, that his word. Notice again, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we walk in that fellowship with the Lord. You know, as Amos said in the Sunday school class in the mornings, Dr. Potter's teaching us from Amos and how close it is to the day to day. But in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be in agreement, except they be agreed? And if we're going to have the fellowship, we're going to know the joy of the Lord, we're going to have to walk in fellowship with the Lord. We're going to have to walk in agreement with the Lord and his word. And to have fellowship with God, we cannot bring him down to our level, but we need to rise to his level. We need to come up to where he would have us to be in our lives. And then in the last part of the seventh verse, we have the result of the light. Verse 7. I'll read the entire verse again. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so the result of the light, not only does it bring fellowship with the Lord, not only does it bring a fullness of joy, but it also brings a cleansing, a continual cleansing. Yes, the result of walking in the light of God's presence, the light of God's word, is fellowship with God, but there is another result, a continual cleansing of our life. Notice again what he says here in the seventh verse. We have fellowship with one another and other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if I look all around the group tonight, I would say almost everyone here tonight know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. But I'm sure everyone of you would also give testimony of the fact that there's times you have problems with the old nature. And, you know, the old nature rises its head up, and we cannot be sinlessly perfect, at least not now. One day we will be. What a glorious thing that'll be when we are sinlessly perfect. We don't have a battle with the old nature any longer, but we do battle with the old nature. And as a result, we stumble and fall at times. We get out of the path that the Lord would have us that we were walking. But if we walk in the light, and we walk in agreement with God, we walk in his presence and his word, we have a continual continual cleansing. And whenever we, it's the old nature gets the best of us and we stumble and fall, we can turn to the Lord, and He's willing to forgive us. He's willing to cleanse us. In fact, He goes on and says that in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so as we walk in God's person and in His word, we are under the cleansing blood of Christ at all times in our life. And so fellowship and fullness of joy are found by the virtue of Christ's work on the cross of Calvary. And here John says, if we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all of us. And so the question we need to ask ourselves tonight, where are you walking? Where are you walking tonight? How we walk and what we walk makes a difference in our life. In Christ, we have the cleansing of His blood. And where are you walking? Am I walking in agreement with Christ? Am I walking in fellowship with the Lord? Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much this evening for the life that we can have in Christ, that we can walk in the light as He is in the light. And Lord, we pray that You would use Your word to help us to walk with Thee, walk in the light as You are in the light. Walk in the light, so shalt thou know the fellowship of love His Spirit only can bestow, who reigns in light above. Walk in the light, or sin abhorred, that thou shalt the victory gain. The blood of Jesus Christ the Lord cleanseth from every stain. Walk in the light, and thou shalt find thy heart made truly His, who dwells in cloudless light and shine, in whom no darkness is. And Lord, we're thankful tonight for the light that You continue to give us, the light that enables us to have fellowship with Thee, the light that enables us to have fullness of joy in our life, to have that inner joy in spite of the circumstances around us. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I wonder, we ask ourselves the question, where am I walking tonight? Am I walking in the light of God's word? Am I walking in fellowship with Him? Am I walking according to His plan for my life? And maybe there's one here tonight to slip up the hand and put it back down, and by a gesture you'd be saying, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm afraid that at the present time I've gotten out of the presence of that circle of light that is so needed in my life, and I need to get back to the Lord. Anyone at all, just slip up the hand and put it back down. Yes. Anyone else tonight? Our gracious Lord, we pray that You would accomplish Your perfect will in our lives, that we might know true fellowship, and we might know fullness of joy. For it's in Christ's name we pray.